Pray. So, Father, we thank you for who you are. God, we literally are nothing without you. So convince us of that. God, I pray that you would do what we so desperately need you to do. There's nothing that I bring to the table here. I'm just desperately trying to be a vessel here. And so, Lord, I pray that you would take the message I feel like you've placed on my heart and that you would apply it to all of our lives, Lord. God, I need this first and foremost before anybody else, so help me to receive this. But help all of us to be able to walk together in this, to be able to trust you. So God, loosen the grip of this world and fix our gaze upon you. So it's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, I'm going to invite you in your copy of Scripture to go ahead and get your way to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to be starting in verse 35. And while you are turning there to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35, we have this blessing and this curse in as humans. In some ways it's a blessing, but in more ways it's actually a curse, that we get so fixated and focused on like one thing and one way of doing something, one option, that it doesn't matter what other people would have to say to us, but we just do it our way, right? And so, like I did to the first service, I'm not going to have you think about you. We can begin this exercise thinking about other people because that's just easier, right? Amen. All right, so, but understand from the very beginning, while we're talking about other people, we're actually talking about ourselves. So, just so that we know that, all right? But let's begin to think about people in our lives. All right, so think of somebody or multiple people in your lives, and I'm just going to ask you, has anyone in your life ever been locked into one way of thinking? That the way that they do something is the only way. That it doesn't matter what you tell them, that there could be another possibility to do something even a little bit more efficiently. It doesn't matter. I do it this way is right. We have somebody in our mind, right? Okay, right. There comes to a point where, with me at least, again, I'm talking about me, but I'm talking about you. Okay, there are times when I am so fixated and focused on doing something this way that it doesn't matter that Tucker, I just called out Tucker. Tucker tells me, dude, this is the stupidest way to do it. You should think about this. There are times that we get so fixated and focused on one way of thinking that nobody can convince me elsewise, right? I mean, I'll give you a couple examples because I'm talking about myself here, all right? But I'm talking about you. Okay, but I'm talking about myself, right? A couple of years ago, man, I love ice cream, period, but a couple of years ago, there was nothing that anybody could tell me about the dangers of ice cream, all right? I live between two incredible ice cream places. One place that made homemade scoop ice cream that was just beyond this world, and then another, and they also had water ice that wasn't like the weird snow cone crap. Somehow it was like creamy. I don't understand, but it was really good. All right, and then on the other side there was this place that had the soft serve custard, and it was like beyond this world. It was awesome. Still is awesome. All right. Well, nobody would tell me. Nobody did tell me, and if you did tell me that, dude, you're going to get fat, I wouldn't have believed, because guess what? I loved ice cream. And now when Marissa and I look back at the pictures during that time period, man, I was like, I was like, dang, ice cream does put on the weight, man. I'm like, whoa. But nobody would tell me, man, you're going to put on a lot of weight if you keep eating as much as you do. It wouldn't have mattered. I love ice cream. It's fine. I was stuck in that way of thinking. And it wasn't until I changed it that I was able to see moderation is key. All right, the same thing with diet, right? If any of us go to a doctor and they're like, man, you got to cut this out, you should eat differently, right? There comes to a point where it doesn't matter that the doctor says that you need to limit the pizza and tacos. I'm not cutting that out in my life, amen. Right? Right? There gets a point where until I understand and I feel that my body actually needs a change, you can't change my thinking. I'm going to eat pizza and tacos. right? With dating relationships, and it doesn't matter how old you are. It could be the youngest all the way to the most mature, right? If you're in this dating phase, you know, at the beginning of a relationship, it doesn't matter what anybody says to the other person. They are enthralled with the fact that they like the other person, or maybe they're just enthralled with the fact that we like that somebody likes us. Ooh, I went there. All right? And so it doesn't matter that we say, man, there's some warning signs about this person. You should be careful. It doesn't matter. Man, I'm focused. I like this person. I'm going to date them. Yep. Right? We get stuck in these one ways of thinking from time to time. Right? And I mean, teens, you know I love you. But your way of thinking is that you guys are always right. I did. Right? And so, hey, from somebody that is just coming out of those years in their life, let me tell you that you're not going to be able to grow and mature until you come to the point, change your mind, that you can learn from other people. Yep. And so we all get stuck in these ruts of one way of thinking, and it's not until we are able to maybe look at something objectively to be able to learn, adjust, and grow. And so we've been looking at 1 Corinthians, and 1 Corinthians, they were stuck in one way of thinking, and they really were struggling. And guess what? I'm talking about the Corinthians, but I'm talking about us. I'm talking about you and me. What was going on with this body of people was that they loved this life. They loved this world. They didn't have to worry about some other country invading, and they weren't in wartime. They were living a life of comfort, of convenience, of ease. They weren't worrying about where their food was going to come from. They were arguing and debating about what cut of steak they were going to enjoy. They were enjoying lavish parties, dinner parties. They were pursuing sex and having sex with anyone, anywhere, anytime, anyhow, and you fill in the blanks. They were perverted because they were withholding nothing from themselves. They loved this world and what it had to offer. Okay, insert us. That's us. We've been blessed in many ways in America, and it's caused us to love this world. And whether you realize it or not, I am begging that the Spirit of God would impress on you the fact of how hard you're holding on to this world. It is my prayer that all of us would be able to learn and hear from the Apostle Paul. What he's trying to tell us is that the resurrection frees us from the bondage of this world. I mean, some of you, you're already checking out from what we have to say this morning because you don't think that you're in bondage. Well, I'm here to tell you that if you live based off of this life and only for this life, you're in bondage. You're in bondage. There is a life that is to come, which we are invited to focus on. And that is what Paul is trying to try to get our minds and our lives focused on. So I'm going to ask you, as we are getting started, have you been denying spiritual things because you've been focused on this world? Have you been denying your relationship with God because you've been focused on this world? You've been worried. I mean, it could even be, I'll give it to you. Man, there's been a lot of things that raise our anxiety right now. There have been a lot of things that aren't going our way. And it's making us worry and scurry and try to manage and hold on to this world. Is it causing you to not be able to focus on God and on the things of God? Because if we're just holding on tightly and trying to maintain and get out what we can get from this world, then we're missing out on Christ. So, in order for us to be able to experience and to grow, we need to be able to lean into this spiritual element of this life that God has created for us. If you want to, if I want to experience the love of God, if I want to experience this resurrection power, it only happens as I shift my thinking away from this world and I begin to focus on what God has for me. I begin to lean into what God has for me. Because guess what? If I'm focused on this world, it's hard for me to understand what God says about me. God says there's no condemnation. What are you talking about, God? I know my sin. I know my shortcomings. I know my mistakes. I know my decisions. I know how I've hurt people. And this is what I see, God. So if we're focused here on this world, then yeah, guess what? You're just going to be defining and limiting yourself. But what God is inviting us into is to be able to see there's another way of thinking, and the God of the universe who rose from the grave is defining you by saying those things don't define you anymore, but my love does. And it takes the shift from this world to God to be able to believe him for us to experience the freedom that we're being invited to live. I need a breather for me. Gosh. If we don't wake up to the spiritual and draw close to God, what happens is the enemy gets us so focused on this world that we get consumed with the things of this world, with the cares of this world, that we don't even realize that what is happening is we are held in bondage to this world. Maintaining, trying to have what we've always had, or to get more, to be concerned about how others think about us, to be able to maintain this image, to have this perfect body, whatever it is. We focus on the things of this world, which some of them are very good things and are needed. But if they're our focus, we're held in bondage. That's why so many of us feel so stuck in our faith journey with God. Because a lot of us, we're overloaded, we're overwhelmed, we've become addicted to, and we're consumed by this natural world that we're not giving attention to God. And so I'm begging you to be able to see that Christ is worth it. Would you receive freedom today? Because that's what Paul is going to be arguing for us. The main point of today, what I want you to walk away with, you hear one thing. I want you to hear this and chew on it every day, because I'm going to be doing the same. Is that the resurrection frees us from the bondage of this world. It frees us. So 1 Corinthians 15, verses 35 through 58. We're going to read that whole portion there. So buckle your seatbelts, but don't tune out. Lean in, because allow the Spirit of God to be able to speak these words over you. But I want you to pay attention as we're reading together for these three things that stand out to me. The first is that creation itself gives us an example of the resurrection. That you and I, we're going to experience a resurrection ourselves. And that Christ's resurrection is our victory. It's our victory. So let's look for those things as we read. 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 35. But someone may ask, how will the dead be raised? What kind of bodies will they have? And what a foolish question. When you put a seed into the ground, doesn't it grow into a plant unless it dies first? And what you put in the ground is not the plant that will grow, but it's only a bare seed of wheat or whatever it is that you're planting. Then God gives it a new body that he wants it to have. A different plant grows from each kind of seed. Similarly, there are different kinds of flesh, one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are also bodies in the heavens and bodies on the earth. The glory of the heavenly bodies is different from the glory of the earthly bodies. The sun has one kind of glory, while the moon and the stars each have another kind. And even the stars differ from each other in their glory. And it's the same way with the resurrection of the dead. Our earthly bodies are planted in the ground when we die, but they will be raised to live forever. Our bodies are buried in brokenness, but they will be raised in glory. They are buried in weakness, but they will be raised in strength. They are buried as natural human bodies, but they will be raised as spiritual bodies. For just as there are natural bodies, there are also spiritual bodies. The scriptures tell us the first man, Adam, became a living person. But the last Adam, that is Christ, is a life-giving spirit. What comes first is the natural body, then the spiritual body comes later. Adam, the first man, was made from the dust of the earth, while Christ, the second man, came from heaven. Earthly people are like the earthly man, and heavenly people are like the heavenly man. Just as we are now like the earthly man, we will someday be like the heavenly man. So pay attention. What I am saying, dear brothers and sisters, is that our physical bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. These dying bodies cannot inherit what will last forever. But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment and in the blinking of an eye. When the last trumpet is blown, for when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever, and those who are still living will be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies will be transformed into immortal bodies. So then, when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God that he gives victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So why does it matter? So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing that you do for the Lord is ever useless. I mean, if you aren't excited about some of those things, then you don't have a pulse. So it is now my goal, hopefully, to help us to be able to see this in new lens. But what Paul started off was that he's showing us that creation itself testifies of resurrection. So the Corinthians, like I was saying, they were fixated on one way of thinking. They were obsessed with this world. They were obsessed with what they can get out of this world. So they were trying to maintain and get out whatever they could. So when you become obsessed with this world, what happens is you don't want this to end. So when Paul comes in and he starts preaching the gospel and he's actually showing that what God is doing is that this world is actually not the end goal. This world is like the preview. It's the appetizer leading to the main dish. This is just the beginning. These people were like, man, I love this though, so I don't want anything else. They had a hard time imagining that there was something next to come. And so what Paul is doing, he's like, man, I don't understand why you guys can't think about resurrection. Look out at the field. Look at all the harvest. What happens? You put a seed in the ground, you bury it, and then it springs into a new form of life. It doesn't come out as a bunch of seeds, right? It comes in, whatever the seed is going to bring forth, it brings something new and better. And see, Paul is trying to remind us, like, hey, this is exactly what's going on with us, that through Christ, through a relationship with Christ, we will be raised to a new life. And so, if that doesn't mean anything, if you aren't convinced that this world isn't all that we've got. If you're not excited about the fact that there's a coming hope, it's because you're too in love here. You're fixated here. And so what Paul is trying to say is that, man, we will have a resurrection. And the thing that's scary about that is that the way that we live our life here matters. But he keeps going with a promise. He says, man, creation gives us the image of resurrection, but he also gives us the promise that we too will be raised. I'm going to read verses 42 through 44 for us. It is the same way with the resurrection of the dead. Our earthly bodies are planted in the ground when we die, but they will be raised to live forever. Our bodies are buried in brokenness, but they will be raised in glory. They are buried in weakness, but they will be raised in strength. They are buried as a natural human body, but they will be raised as spiritual bodies. For just as there are natural bodies, there are spiritual bodies. So what I want to invite you to do is just slow down and think about this. What is Paul trying to get them to think about here? They're so in love. We are so in love with this world. And what Paul is trying to say is like, hey, when you think about this world, it actually stinks. When you actually peel back the curtain and you think about what this world is, what's going on in this world, and you get off of your little high horse and that you're your own little God, you begin to understand that this life is actually pretty crummy. But what it was, he says, man, all of us are going to die. So if you're investing in something that's going to end, that's a pretty foolish investment, isn't it? And so he says, man, even if you don't physically die, if we're alive when the Lord Jesus comes back, this is done. And there's going to be a new. So what he's saying is, man, if we're investing here and that's all we got, we're wasting our time. But as if that's not enough, he appeals even more. And he's appealing to us to be able to see how horrible this life actually is. What does it say? It says, man, our bodies are going to be buried in brokenness and weakness. So why does that matter? It matters because if we're holding so tightly to this world, and if this world is all that we have, I'm looking around at you guys. I know some of your guys' struggles. Is this life treating you well? Are your bodies working? Have you experienced heartache and disappointment? But yet what we do, what the enemy is doing is he's lulling us to sleep to be content with making this world our home. And it's not our home. It's not our home. Listen, I stand before you, I'm 30 years old and I've had a blessed life. So I'm not trying to make you feel bad for me. Don't feel bad for me. But my body has not been working right for over half of my life. I experience what Paul is saying here, that brokenness and weakness, they taint our world. Some of you, you've been born with different issues and limitations in life. And man, God still loves you. But guess what? If this is all that you have, that's heartbreaking because that's not fair. If this is the only shot that you have and you've been given a disability, a sickness, an illness, then man, you have every right to be able to be angry at God. But this isn't our home. He says that, man, you experience brokenness, but guess what? Is that brokenness going to be carried with us? No, you're buried in brokenness, but you are raised in glory. We are going to be buried in weakness, but we're going to be raised in strength. And he goes on later and he says that, man, this body, it can't be taken with us to the next life. And praise be to God for that. Yep. I mean, there's a lot of things. I mean, right now, I'm holding this microphone and my shoulder is screaming to me saying, switch hands. I'm switching hands. Right? We experience brokenness. We experience the illness. We experience, we look around at this world and it's not how it used to be. All right? It's not. And it's not going back. So just put that in your back pocket and chew on it later. All right? But what's going on here is that if this is it, then we've made a mockery of ourselves because we can't control anything. We can't control anything. Listen, illness, disease, crime, wickedness, war, the evil in the world, those are all huge issues. But listen, they're even bigger issues if this is all that there is. If this is the only life, they're even bigger issues. So what is Paul trying to do? He's trying to get us to be able to see, man, maybe we're holding on to something that's not been meant to be holding on to. Maybe we're wasting our lives by trying to manage and hold on and be distracted and be beaten up by things that aren't meant to have our focus. What is Paul telling us? He says, despite the brokenness and weakness, that we will be raised in strength and glory. So for those of us that are in Christ, we're not going to be limited the way that we are right now. The resurrection, as we focus on the resurrection, it frees us from the bondage of this world. Why? because it frees us up to be able to see that this isn't it. We have a better hope. We have a future. So suddenly all that anxiety, that worry, that fear, those broken relationships, you name it, that abuse, that hurt, suddenly all those things, it's not like we sweep them under the rug. We still deal with that. We still feel it. But we can know that it's temporary. We can know that no matter what happens, that life can throw its worst at us, but it's not going to be like this forever. And then the last thing that he's doing is he's pointing us to the fact of Christ's resurrection and what that does for us. He points to us that Christ's resurrection is our victory. So it tells us that we have hope because Christ resurrected. Right? What are the worst enemies? What's the worst thing that we have to fight against? It's not other people, but we're constantly battling with sin and death. Well, if what we are talking about with Jesus, if it's true, what does the resurrection prove? That those things, sin and death, they have no... Christ looked at them and said, sit down. They have no authority over him. And so the scripture... So we now have the opportunity now. Are we going to believe in this world and stay focused here? Or are we going to believe in our risen Messiah that says, just like I have defeated sin and death, so will you. That's amazing hope. So although we still live in this world that is infected and tarnished by sin and death, we still experience those things. We know that they do not have claim on us. The resurrection of Jesus declares that death is not the end for those of us in Christ. So that does amazing things for us. Because guess what? It means that this world can give us its worst. Life can give us even more difficulty and calamity. It could be even worse times. Evil can do its work, and death will come our way. But guess what? Because Christ rose from the grave, we have hope and confidence that this isn't it. So I want to ask you a question as we begin to kind of land the plane here. If you were given the ability, if God gave you the ability to be able to see towards the end of your life, and he gave you a glimpse, and you were able to see that God-sized dream that you would love to accomplish in your life, or whatever image of like a well-spent life was, if God gave you a future glimpse to be able to see that, and you're able to see what your future is, and you're like, can't wait for that, what would that do for you now, knowing what your future is? What that would do, that we would make the most of every opportunity. We would work harder than anybody would work. We would understand that even though times are hard, we would be able to understand, because I know what's coming, I can endure what I'm going through because it's not going to be like this forever. And this is what Paul is doing for us. He is placing before us as his church to say, look, this is the end. We get to be with Christ. We'll be with resurrected bodies, that death will be no more. There will be no more sin. There'll be no more hurt. There'll be no more crying. We're going to be able to be with our Messiah and be able to live life the way that it was intended for us to live. We have that hope. So what does that do for us? Unless we change our focus, it does nothing. But if you would receive what the Lord is tapping and asking you to do, to be able to look and allow that to be your motivator, life can do its worst to you, and you'd be able to stand there confident, knowing that God is with you every step of the way, and this is not your home. It changes things. It frees us from the bondage of this world. The resurrection changes everything. And the resurrection demands a response. So what are we going to do with the resurrection? Let's look at verse 58. I'll read this for you. And then I'll be out of your way. Don't worry. Verse 58. So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable, and always work enthusiastically for the Lord. For you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. So why does the resurrection matter? The resurrection, the hope of heaven. It gives us the ability to be strong and immovable. Well, you don't need to be strong unless you're being faced with difficulty. So hear this, that you can receive strength from God as you focus on him, as despite whatever you're walking through, if you would invest time in getting to know the Lord, if you would be able to understand the truth of Scripture. There's a reason why the Psalms are so vulnerable. The Psalms, everybody's not skipping through a field of prayer, he's holding hands. The book of Psalms is basically, life sucks, God, what are you going to do about it? Yep. Help me. Yep. Help me, God, be my help. And so until you and I understand that we need that posture, we're going to just continue to enjoy this world and this is going to be our home. But if you're going to be that type that's like, man, I'm not content with this being my home. I'm listening to my Lord. You can receive strength as we focus on him. We focus on the resurrection because we know he's won the victory. You don't need to be immovable unless you have something pushing you. Unless you have something pulling for you. So when anxiety, when relationships crumble, when your kids are acting all kind of wild and you have no idea what to say, when health declines, when death is at your door, we acknowledge these things, but we can have confidence because of the resurrection. That it's not just going to end. This is the entrance to our eternity, and an eternity that won't be marked with brokenness and weakness. So you have hope, but you're only strengthened. You can only receive that freedom from the bondage of this world as we lean in to the Lord. Freedom can be experienced in Christ because we know that this life is not all that we have. Therefore, we don't have to live like this is all that we have. There's hope for us because we know that this life isn't all that we have. So we're able to, through Christ, be able to loosen the grips of our hands on the things of this world because we know that this isn't it. There's freedom. And the second thing that it does, it always work enthusiastically for the Lord. What it does is it changes our whole outlook. It changes everything because suddenly I'm not here just trying to hoard for myself anything that I can hold on to. But suddenly I'm able to understand my eternity is secure. So now I'm able to see all these people around me that are without hope. And so now suddenly everything that I have is an avenue for me to be able to show off the glory of Christ so that they too would be able to understand the hope that I have. So suddenly your parenting isn't just parenting. Suddenly your parenting is you are trying to raise your kids in such a way that they would be able to come to know who Jesus is. So every diaper change is an opportunity for you to pray for your child that they would not give in to temptation, that they would come to know Jesus as Savior. For you that work in construction, you're not just hammering nails. You're out there building things for people. And so when you're on that roof, you be praying for whatever goes on in that building. And you say, God, would something happen that people in this room would be able to understand who you are and loosen their grips from this world? When you're organizing things for military, you can pray for the downfall of evil. That is great. But you do so with the people that are going crazy in the cubicles and in your teams next to you. And you pray that they would not allow anxiety and worry and fear to hold them back. But you could be a person to be able to show that there is hope in the midst of the chaos. And that hope is Jesus. Teachers, you love on your kids. You'd be the best teacher that they ever have. Because you understand that you're working for that one opportunity for that kid to come up to you, for you to be able to pray for them, to be able to model for them the hope that you have. And when the opportunity comes, you speak boldly about your Messiah and you don't care about the consequences for your job. Yep. We are here, not just for ourselves, but we're able to see, man, this is a sinking ship going down fast, but we know the way out. Yep. So I'm just going to ask you today, does the resurrection even matter to you? If you're here and you don't have a relationship with Christ, man, what is holding you back? And come talk to Pastor Tim or I, or talk to the person next to you and scare them. That's fine, scare them. Then you can come up to me later. That's fine. But make that happen today. Don't drag your feet. Man, Christ rose from the grave victorious. That is the proof for the pudding. So therefore, if he defeated sin and death, what he says goes. So would you come to him? And for believers, I'm asking you, where's your focus? Would you hear the Messiah asking you, man, come to me. Spend time with me. Don't be concerned with this world. Come to me. Invest in the relationship with me. And may we experience him in profound ways. So if we could pray with you, man, please come find us. Don't leave here. If you feel like there's a churning in your heart, tapping, man, come and let's experience the love of God and the resurrection power on our behalf. Let's pray. So Father God, we thank you for who you are. Thank you that you rose from the grave victorious. And so Father, I pray for each and every person here. God, we all have a choice that we need to make here. God, you know my heart and you know right now even just how I'm feeling for those that are under the sound of my voice that are just going to reject and turn away. God, would you please intervene? Would you please put a heavy sense even right now while I'm praying on them that they need to get some prayer, they need to come to you. God, I pray for those of us that we're just feel beaten up and we just feel like we don't know what's going to happen next. We don't know how much more of this we can take. Lord, I pray that we would be able to come to you and not try to manage things, not try to hold on to this world, but to be able to receive the freedom from you, from the bondage of this world. So God, help us. Thank you that you are the risen Lord and that you are our victory. In your name we pray. Amen.